good evening. Welcome to Vision Baptist Church. Go ahead and stand with me. Let's sing together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, good evening, everyone. You're welcome to have a seat. A couple of more weeks, you'll be all right. A couple of more weeks. Well, I am very glad to be in the house of God with you. We didn't get two mics ready, but Trish, could you handle that? And we'll have two men pray if you're willing to lead in prayer. One, two men, hold your hands up. Chris will get you a microphone, and we'll have our men's prayer. There they are. You two, get, okay. Okay, brother. All right. You want to start us? You pray, and then David can pray. All right. That sound all right? Let's go.
Father, we thank you for giving us time. We honor and worship you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name and to see everyone, even with all that is going on in this world, Lord. We believe that you're still working in this world, Lord. We have seen the baptism today. We give you all the praise and glory. Lord, we also pray that you would work even more in the coming times, Lord. Help, use us as you will, in Jesus' name.
Father, we are just so grateful to you be back here and centered around your word. Lord, we thank you so much for that. We thank you for what it does. We thank you for its purity, its righteousness, and its life-giving. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we may be able to see the wonderful things that are in it, that we would walk away changed, and that we would just continue to adore. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Pastor as he brings it to us. And we thank you so much for a ministry that is centered on it and is so passionate about making sure that it is implanted in the lives of this body and that it also goes out to the entire world. And we give you the praise for it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I wanted to tell y'all, you know, we are in the process, Lord willing, of buying some land for the training center and the mission board. And we had raised about $400,000, and they raised about $105,000 yesterday. Puts us a little over $500,000 in the bank when it all gets here. You should have seen some pastors recommending the guys, and some of you might have seen some of the craziness that left Brendan Wong looking like he belongs in a kung fu movie. And thank the Lord I wasn't here, because if they'd tried to do that to me, I just wouldn't have showed up. But watermelon with no hair on it, that would really look bad. But Adam Ragsdale came to me first, and he and Sam Quinn had both worked at a radio station at Tabernacle Baptist College in Greenville, South Carolina. And so they said they wanted to think about doing a share-a-thon. And I said, now that's a joke. I mean, I didn't say that because, you know, I'm a pastor. I got to be nice. I said, you really think that would work? And they said, yeah, we do. And I said, well, you know, if you get $5,000, that'd be good. That'd be great. And so Sam Quinn organized 36 hours of content. And a note here says single-handedly. And the guys worked at the guys. I think they had a good time. Tyler Ellis sang so many songs that I thought he was going pro. Chris Fees, who is just amazing in a thousand things. This pulpit, behind the pulpit, was a really bad spot on the floor. I just hated it. Every time I preached, I had a small rug, and everybody kept getting rid of it. That's because the floor was doing all kinds of junk. I mean, you would, too, if you had 250 pounds of ugly fat on you. And so I didn't like that that was happening. And so Chris Fee just tore up the floor and redid it. And that was a blessing to me. I think he put a trap door in it. So if I preached longer than I was supposed to, he could get rid of me. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of people here that worked so hard. Brendan Wong, Jonathan Anderson, Travis Snowd. Allison Flowers was the church secretary. Put in a ton of extra hours this week, and I'm trying to read their list here. Andrew Pearson, Jacob Elsie helped fix AV problems. There were quite a few problems, and they were helping with that. Amber Garcia and a bunch of teens were in a room all the time. And Chris Fees and Val Seifu and Regina Gordon were helping all 36 hours. They work in the office, and it just made a whole lot more work for them. I thought this was funny. Adam Ragsdale lost 9 pounds in 48 hours. He calls it the stress eating diet. And so if you would like to go on that one, I could do that if I did that for 10 weeks. Yeah. Okay. Trying to figure this out. But anyway, I really appreciate it, and thank you very much, all of you. And so I don't have very much of a way to commend you, but I do thank you so much for all you've done, and we will see the reality of having a place where we can house our students and get more students. We're going to, between now and the time Jesus comes back, do everything in our power to get as many people as we can to the mission field. It's not what we talk about, it's who we are. And so I would really appreciate your prayer that God would raise the money and take care of that. I'm going to have another word of prayer just because I want to say thank you for all the work of these young people, and then after that, Chesley Howell is our five-minute preacher tonight. Father, we love you and thank you so very much for the chance to serve you. I thank you for how your people sacrifice so much to work so hard for so many hours, but I thank you most of all because you touched hearts and raised the money, and we give you praise for it. God, I just pray for a world that's dying and going to hell. I pray for people in countries that never have the privilege of doing what we do. God, I went without this meeting of these people, and it drove me crazy for a few weeks. And God, they never have a church. They never have the Bible preached to them. They never pray with their friends. They have no confidence of what would happen when they die. They have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They've never sung a psalm, never sung a song, never participated in a worship service. They believe with all their heart lies invented by the devil to keep them out of heaven and in hell. God, they've been wrapped in Buddhism and Islam and Hinduism and false religions and atheism and false religions all over this world. And they're in desperate need of hearing the gospel message. I'm not telling you anything because you sent us to the world. You told us to take the gospel to the world. And God, as a church body, we have really attempted to do something about that. God, there's so much more we could do. And by faith, I'd like to ask you to help us step out and do more than we've ever done before. God, I pray that you'd raise up 500 or 600 missionaries instead of 50 or 60. I'd ask you, dear God, to send so many students here we won't know what to do with them. I pray, God, that in these last days before you send Jesus back to take us home, you'd let us be involved in your ministry of preaching the gospel everywhere. I pray for China, God. If we could send 1,000 missionaries there, they would get lost in the crowd. Not enough. If we could send 1,000 missionaries to India, not enough. God, if we could send 1,000 to Indonesia, not enough, but getting a lot closer because it's not so large compared to those two. God, there are cities all across America without one church in the inner city to work with people that are chained in darkness and sin, gangs and drugs and pride and money, and they've never had a preacher. Now places in our country, dear God, where people do not hear the gospel preached. God, you gave us a command, and I'm just asking you to help us obey you. I'm asking you to do something very special. I'm asking you, dear God, to raise up the funds and raise up the people and send your church forth. God, I pray that you'd send more young people. I pray you'd let us see churches started in every major city across America. I pray you'd let us see many churches started inside of 285 in Atlanta, in a place where almost no churches exist now, of our stripe that preach the gospel. God, I pray that you would do something massive and big. I pray, God, that you'd burden this church until the weight of the world weighs on our shoulders so that we don't get up or go to bed without thinking about souls that have never heard the gospel, who will spend eternity in agony and pain forever because they never heard the truth. God, help us not revel in the grace that you've given us and just lap up this goodness without thinking about those that have none of it. God, please do a work. Please move in our midst. Please save people. Please, God, let us be a part of it. We just ask you to let us be part of what you're doing as you rescue souls from hell. We'll give you praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, if you would turn to Psalms 118:19. And one thing that we all should do every single day is praise God for our salvation. It's one of the most magnificent and wonderful things that happened to me and all of us. I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. It gave us life. It took us from going to hell to going to heaven. There's nothing greater than our salvation. And we come to Psalms 118:19. David is praising God for his salvation. And he says in verse 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in unto them. I will praise the Lord, the gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, O I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Whenever I first read this, I just pictured David. He's like the king of Israel. He's the greatest king, the king that they all look and strive to be like. He's the king about all history that they always talk about, getting tongue twisted. But I just imagine David riding up to the gates of heaven, and he's on his stallion, he's on his black stallion, his steed, and he's got his battle armor on, and all his mighty men are with him, and all of his soldiers are with him, and the band is playing the trumpets and the cymbals, and he's like, "Open up the gates, let me in, I've come to praise the God, I've come to praise the Lord." And the guard looks down like, "Who are you?" And David's just like, "You know who I am. God knows who I am. He is my salvation. Let me in that I may praise him." And they open up the gates. They swing open the gates. And David marches in all his kingly glory, but is nothing compared to God. God is sitting on his throne. And in God's glory, David is absolutely nothing. And he just bows down before God. And he's like, "Praise thee, O God. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for showing me the light." And I think about how much each and every day it says, every single day God gives us, you know, it says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Do you remember the day that you got saved? How was it? How great a day was it? Do we praise the Lord for our salvation? Every day when I wake up, I try to remember this verse and think about it and just think about the salvation that the Lord gave me. And I remember the day that I got saved. It was a Monday morning. It was after my dad had preached the night before, and I just knelt down by myself in my room and just said, "Lord, like, please forgive me of my sins. I want you to come into my heart. I want to live and I want to serve you." And it felt like just a weight was lifted off my shoulders. I know no matter what I do, I'm in God's hand. He's never going to let me go. Forever I will be in God's hand. It doesn't matter what I do, how dirty I am, how wretched I am. In God's eyes, I am righteous. And I can walk up to the gates and say, "I'm the righteous one, Lord. Let me in. Let me praise you." So just challenge you today to praise the Lord each and every day. And another verse that really stuck out to me in this chapter is, he says, bind the sacrifice of cords even unto the horns of the altar. When David went to praise, he didn't just go and praise and do lip service. He also brought a sacrifice. So we're all challenged to sacrifice, to give to the Lord. It can be through our lives of serving others, through giving to, like yesterday, we had a lot of people give to the World Evangelism Center. Each and every one of our sacrifice can look different. But are we sacrificing to God? And are we willing to go and tell others about the Word of God, to tell them about our salvation that we have, that we can be so excited and so ready to praise the Lord? There are so many people around the world that when they read this verse, it means, or this part of the chapter, it means nothing to them. They don't know anything about praising God. They don't know anything about praising the Lord. They've never heard of Jesus. They don't even know who he is. Millions and millions of people. And we have a joy where we can wake up and we can know that we're going to heaven, that God has saved us, that there's nothing that anyone can do to pluck us out of his hand. But there are millions and millions of people all over the world who have never heard. They don't have that joy. They don't have anything. They wake up and maybe some people are, they live for money or for cars or for whatever it is that they desire. But at the end of their life, there's no hope. There's zero. There's nothing for them. So I just ask you today, one, be praising the Lord. Thank him for your salvation each and every day. He's a glorious God and he saved us. And then two, bind the sacrifice with cords. Go to the altar and offer to God your sacrifice, either to witness to others, to go into the world and preach the gospel, or to send people, or whatever it is that your sacrifice is. Even if you're sacrificing your pride of looking foolish when you witness to someone and they might reject you at work, just be willing to sacrifice for the Lord. Thank you.
Again, we'll continue to sing together.
Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be.
All of my ambitions,
all of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Amen. You can have a seat.
Well, nobody tells me anything, so I didn't know.
It is a blessing to be together. I was praising God this morning and thinking about people all around the world that many don't get the opportunity to meet, but we have the opportunity, even though it's in this unusual way, but it's still, we get the opportunity to meet, and it sure is good to see you all and fellowship a little bit from a distance, from afar. Yeah, but it's been a blessing to us. I've been asked to give an update real quick and then pray. But a couple things about us. Our meetings start back on the 17th, and we're excited about that. And our house will be selling on May 13th, and that's a blessing as well. Pray that will all close up. During this time, one of the most difficult things is not being able to share the gospel with people, you know, because people don't want to even look in the eye a lot of times. But by selling the house, I've had many opportunities. The termite guy, guys coming in to buy product, you know, we're selling some things. So they come and we share the gospel with them. And then our handyman came yesterday. He was able to share the gospel with him. Pray for him. His name is Paul. He's a Catholic. And I mean, he's real close, so be praying for him. But that's been a blessing to be able to do that. And then Abby's wedding is coming up this Saturday, and you're all invited. It's going to be a different wedding. Things will be a lot different. It'll look a lot like this in here. And the order of service afterwards and all that will be different. It won't be traditional. We won't be tradition. You know, we'll be doing things a little bit different. And so be prepared for that. But you are invited. We're excited about that for their new life together. That's it on that. So let's pray for the offering as the men come. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together. What a blessing it is, Lord. You call us you tell us, Lord, we need to be gathered together to encourage one another. And I thank you for the encouragement from this morning and also from this evening already. And I just pray that you would bless this offering, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Psalm chapter 20. I hope and pray that some of you have seen other folks saved. Two of our children and one family are going to get baptized shortly. And maybe after this time of being at home, cooped up, locked away with your children, you were able to share the gospel more and some people might have gotten saved. That's a great thing, and I'm very excited about that. Charlotte Penrod lost a quarter inch of all of her fingers because she played the piano for 36 hours. And so my wife told me, she said, you didn't mention Charlotte, but if I start, I just get in trouble. So that's it. Now I was thinking about how fun it's going to be to watch Abby and her dad. Ty has to figure out how to get her in here. So whenever y'all set the seats up, be sure and make it serpentine. I think he ought to have to go, you know. Maybe backtrack a little bit to get through. It'd just be fun to do that. So y'all set that up if you would. I am take you into the Word of God here. We're going to talk about a kind of a bad part of, I think probably people don't like so much. You know, when you, we don't live in Bible days. So our society is so completely and obviously opposite. We're not warriors. I got more swords than all of you. I don't know how to use any of them. I just like swords. Like to think about what I could have been if I had been, and I wasn't. But you know, in the Bible, they're in a war about all the time. In the book of Ephesians, we're told to put on an armor. And so, you know, we don't like to talk about war. We're peaceful people. We don't want to talk about war. This is a war chapter. This is a war song. This is them getting ready to go to battle. And you need to understand that, you know, you got this kingdom here, and all around it are people that would take their gold and take their silver. All around it are people that would make them slaves. It was a regular thing. Don't forget, Joseph was sold into slavery. That's something we don't ever talk about or hear about, but slavery was a part of what's going on in these days. And so it wasn't that unusual for your country to hear about a neighboring country. And by the way, you know, countries weren't, I mean, Israel's a very small place compared to the United States of America. I mean, it's going to take us 35, 40 hours to drive from here to the coast, and a bunch of us went to Israel together a year or so ago, and we toured the whole country, and I about died. But I mean, we drove all the way up to the top, went across this way, came down here, went into another country, came back in, finished the bottom side, came back up, and flew out of the country. Do that in America in a week. I mean, you're going to have to do some real driving. And so there's smaller countries, and there's war on every side. And so when we read this, we're going to talk about war. I need you to understand it's written in the context that David lives in. And you're supposed to, when you study the Bible, try to understand a little bit about what's going on so the Bible makes sense to you. So you shouldn't feel like it's bad that he's at war. He's protecting his country. He never took over other people's country. He was never the aggressor. He was a defender, except when he took the land that God gave him, and it had been given to his country since the days of Abraham. So this country was his since God gave it to him, and so that's the only time he gets into war. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Another thing I'd like to talk to you just briefly about is, you know, I think you ought to want to learn to pray the Psalms. And sometimes, and I don't do it all the time, and but I've done it many times and lots of times. But when you read a psalm, two things you need to understand. You know, it's not written directly to you, but it's very applicable to you. So David writes this in their church, their congregation. It's not a church, because the church is a very definite, different person. It's in the New Testament. The Old Testament's the nation of Israel. But in their worship services, they would have sung this. And this would have been what you sung right before you're going to battle. In fact, the first part of this song will be the people singing and saying, man, we're asking God to take care of our king and give our king wisdom and help our king not mess up and help our king do the right thing. And then somewhere in there, the king stands up, and it's like a musical, you know, the king stands up and he starts singing back, and he said, oh, you don't worry. I'm God's anointed, and I will win. God will see to it that I win, and things are going to work out. But if you'll look at verse 1, just a second, just for like praying, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Now, this is for Israel. But you know, the name of the God, that's my God. The God of Jacob's my God. And that doesn't bother me in the slightest that it's the name of the God of Jacob. But when you have days of trouble, you can take and pray this psalm. When you feel like you're under attack and things, and you need to understand, I think this bothers you, and I think maybe some of you don't grasp it, but you are pretty much in a war all the time yourself. When you're a born-again believer, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to put on armor. That's Ephesians chapter 6. You're supposed to put it on your head and on your chest and on your whole body. You're supposed to be prepared to go to war. And when you read that, you're probably like, oh, that's cute. And maybe you made your son a shield of faith. I made David a shield of faith to try to make him something. I am not a carpenter and I'm not an artist, and you'd have never known that's what it was. But David was young and he didn't know any better. Amen. And so when he got older, I'm sure he thought, man, my dad's a retard. But anyway, but we're in a battle. We're in a battle. We're in a war. And Satan is attacking us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's going on in these days of trouble in our country is, for example, he has been shooting darts of fear at you. And so he just rears back and says, you need to be afraid. I can take you out. And so he shoots that at you, and you're supposed to raise your shield of faith and say, that's not what the Word of God says, buddy. I am not to fear what man can do to me. I'm to fear the one who can determine if I go to heaven or hell. So you answer the devil with the Word. And that's why you memorize Scripture. You memorize Scripture so that when the liar says something, you can say truth back to him. And there's only one place, somebody said the other day, I just don't know who to trust. I said, that's about it right there. That's about it. You can trust the Word of God, but about everything else, you can't trust it too well. But you're in a battle. And so this psalm works great for you. You're in a battle when the devil would have you be afraid, or the devil would have you, he likes to bring pressure and tension. He likes to step into your family and cause division. You do know that confusion and division, those aren't God things. Those are devil things. You do know that the devil enjoys destroying families. He hates families. He hates families because God likes families. He hates your gender because God gave you that gender, so he's against that. He hates marriage because God's for marriage. I mean, you just got to understand. Just think of this. Whatever God said, the devil says just the opposite. That's who he is. So if you, I'll probably do just a little bit of this with you if I still have time at the end of it. But if you'd look here, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defends you. That's the people praying for David and saying, David, I'm praying that God's listening to you when you pray, buddy. I know we're having a day of trouble, and I'm praying that the God of Jacob will defend you and send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you, because we're about to go into war. And if you don't win, they'll come and rape our wives and kill our daughters and kill our sons and kill our old men. And it's, the Bible's full of that stuff. You hear the story of these wars. So they're praying for him. I want to go through this with you. If you write things down, write this: under the banner of the cross. You see, what's happening here is David is establishing who he's going to fight for. I wish you'd go down, if you would, to verse 5, and just in your Bible, underline, set up our banners. Set up our banners. You understand that our military people, they fight for a banner. It's called a flag. United States flag. They wear it on their uniforms. They got it on about everything they got. It flies above their place. Francis Scott Key writes a story. He writes a story about that becomes a Star Spangled Banner, that becomes the national anthem, about our banner. And David said, I'm fighting under a banner too. And I'm going to show you what the banner was. Look in your Bible, if you would, at verse 1. And I want you to underline this. This is all prelim. We'll get to the real stuff in just a minute. But underline this. I want you to notice he says three times in these short little psalm, he says three times in 9 verses, the name of the God. So just underline, name of God. You see, when David goes out to fight, David's saying, I am not going out in David's name. I am not going out in Israel's name. I'm going out in the name of the God of Jacob. That's whose name I'll fight. By the way, that's how he fought Goliath. Nothing new here. Nothing like David's making up a new thing to say. When Goliath hollered at him and mocked him and basically calls him a dog and said, I can't believe they sent this punk out here to fight with me. David's response is, say what you want to say. You got big mouth and big guns and big stuff, but I come in the name of the God of Israel. I'm here in God's name. That's what his banner was, and they're about to go into battle, and that's in that banner again. Look at verse 5, underline, name of our God. Second time, we will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God. That's what we're flying here. You didn't get saved by the Baptist church. That's not your banner. You didn't get saved by Vision Baptist Church. That's not your banner. You got saved in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's your banner. And every knee and every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Skip over, if you would, to verse 7 and underline, name of the Lord our God. Three times. 9 little verses. Three times. Let me make it clear who I'm fighting for. The name of our God. Now, I prefer peace and you prefer peace. I don't like war at all. But David's Psalms often talk about war, but he's fighting God's battle. And I just need you to know this. The devil will do anything he can to get you to deny truth. The devil will do anything he can to get you to live a discouraged and defeated a lifestyle. The devil wants to ruin you every way he can, because you belong to God. And because you belong to God, you got this very special. You remember what we read just a lot long ago? God takes delight in you and pleasure in you. And so the devil's like, if I can mess up his kids, I'll hurt him. And so you need to get up every morning. You need to know that though you may not like the terms of war, you're in a war. And I'm in a war, probably worse than any of you, and I lose so many times. That's why you got a helmet of salvation to go over your head and get your mind under control. I don't know how many times I could tell you that the devil just works me over. He makes me think like I ought to quit. He makes me think like I'm nothing. He makes me think like everybody's against me. He brings all kinds of junk into my head. And I've got to know that when he throws that stuff at me, I can lift the shield of faith. I can control my thoughts and I can honor God in it. You're probably going through more of that than you'd realize. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Go with me, if you would, to verse 1. God's man prepares to lead his people into battle, and his people begin to pray for him. The people pray that God will hear and answer prayer. Now they're singing at church. And the king is, it's not church, it's the congregation. The church will be, that's a New Testament thing. But you got to understand, they're in the congregation, and maybe the soldiers are already dressed up for battle. I have no idea. And maybe the horse is already outside, and maybe all the weaponry is all ready, but they're all together. And the song leader's up there, and he's singing, all right, together, let's all sing it. The Lord hear you, David, in the day of trouble. We need you to hear, that we need God to hear you, and we need God to defend you. The people knew that only God could win the battle, that God would hear them. The people knew that their joy was found in his name. Go down to verse 5, if you would. We will rejoice in thy salvation and in the name of our God. Now that salvation right there isn't a Bible salvation like we teach, though it definitely applies. But they were in the middle of, they're fixing to go to war, and we're praying that God will bring my son home. We're praying God will bring my husband home. We're praying God will let our country win, and that would be salvation. But by the way, that is what God's done. When he saved you, he let you go home. When he saved you, he got you a place in heaven, and he's in heaven preparing a place for you. Their joy was found in their salvation, in his salvation that he gives, and in the name of our God. In the name of our God. Their strength was in the name of their God. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So before they go to battle, they're all getting together and they're singing and they're discussing this, and David's saying his part and they're saying their part. And when a normal a president or a normal king might bring all of his missiles out and roll them down the road, and he might have all of his soldiers go marching by, they're singing, it'll be the name of our God. It'll be the name of our God. I'm sure you know all this, and because it's all background to hear, but God didn't like them counting their soldiers. God said, don't y'all count your soldiers. You'll start depending on your soldiers. You don't count your soldiers. Don't count your weapons. Fact is, I'll kill more than you kill. I'll be there and I'll do more. And by the way, when Moses is leading them and Joshua is leading them, and whenever they're going into battle, if they need it, God just stops the sun in the middle of the sky and lets them win. God takes care of his people. Thank God we're his people. Could I get an amen there? But they wanted God to hear and answer David's prayer and defend him. In Psalm chapter 20 and verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. I want you to underline that word sanctuary. It's like, we know God has a place. We know. See, you got to understand, they really believed that God was real. They really believe God was somewhere. And they're like, God's up in heaven, and God can just send the soldiers if he needs to. You remember when Joshua's about to go into battle, don't you? And this angel shows up. And Joshua arrogantly, like a punk preacher like me, looks at him and said, whose side you on? And the angel said, son, you got that backwards. That ain't how things work around here. You can get on God's side and I'll be with you, or you just forget it. I'm the boss around here. And so he says, God, send help from the sanctuary, strengthen out of Zion. They wanted God to remember and accept David's worship. Look at verse 3. Remember all thy offerings. O God, we pray that you'll remember all of David's offerings, and you'll remember and accept all of his burnt sacrifice. They want God to hear David's prayer. They're singing about David. chapter 20, verse 4, grant thee according to thine own heart. God, answer his prayer. God, give him what he's asking for. God, give him what he's got planned. And they will rejoice in the fact that God has heard and answered. In Psalm 20 and verse 5, basically David's answering, but it says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. I hope that you pray for those that you have in spiritual leadership in your ministry. I hope that you realize that they are in a battle and the devil would like nothing more than to take them out. Let me just sum up for you in my own words what the people wanted from David. If you read this here, they're praying for David, and this is what they wanted. They wanted a man of prayer as their leader. They wanted to know that David had prayed to God and that David was more skilled in spiritual warfare than physical warfare. They wanted David more of a man of God than a man of a sword. They wanted a man that could trust God in every step of the way. So their song here is, David, we're singing for you, buddy, and this is a prayer to our God that you would be the man of God you ought to be. Read the stuff. It's like you could tell they're talking about him. They wanted a man that worshiped God. They wanted a man that worshiped God. They talk about his offering. They talk about his prayer. They wanted a man that listened to God or got direction from God. They wanted a man that would go into battle for the Lord and not for himself. They wanted to fight under God's banner, not David's banner. They were looking for a man to lead them in obedience to the Lord's commands. Can I just say here, this is what your wife is singing. This is what your children are singing. This is what you ought to be singing about me and others that are here to serve you. We are asking God to give us a leader, a husband, a pastor, whoever, who is a man of prayer, a man that worships God, a man that listens to God. If you want a strong marriage, you work on this psalm right here. It'll work on you. Because when we become men and women of prayer, our children need that. They go into battle every day. The world would take them to hell in a heartbeat. They need a dad who stands with a sword in his hand, the word of God, and says to his kids, I'll teach you what to think and I'll teach you what to do. You will not accept all the false beliefs that the world gives you. Only one way that's going to happen. And that is if you become a man of the book yourself. You know, you have men. I'm the pastor of Vision Baptist Church. I'm your pastor. But men, would you look at your wife? You're their pastor. You pastor your wife. The greatest man of God your wife and children should know should be you. They should know that daddy gets alone with God in the back room, and they should be able to sing a song and say, oh God, there's trouble in the land and I need daddy to be a man of God. And we believe he is. That's what they need to have happening. Before I go on, by the way, Dad, you are so important. Did you know in the New Testament, I'm going to make you mad, you know, but in the New Testament, if your wife had a question, she wasn't supposed to ask it at church. She's supposed to ask you. She's supposed to go home with all of her big questions and say, honey, would you explain this passage of scripture to me? Well, ask the pastor. Well, God told me to ask you. Amen. That's a pretty heavy weight on a man. It's a pretty heavy weight on a man when your wife walks in and says, this is what the word of God said, and I'm not sure I'm understanding it. Teach me, O man of God. It's a big responsibility to be a husband. It's a big responsibility to be a dad. I would like to ask you to think about those who have no pastor. I'd like to ask you to think about that boy whose mama dies in China. And no matter how many times you say to him, well, she was just a matter. You know, like a dog or a cat or a rabbit that you run over in the road, son. She's just gone. Don't worry about it. But inside he's going, I need something. I need something. And they need somebody who could hold the book open and say, let me tell you what the word of God says. Hey, when your little animal dies, it breaks your heart. But when your loved ones die, you know where they go and you know what the word of God says. But they don't in India. and they don't in China, and they don't in Peru, and they don't in so many places. We have to get men of God around the world because they have no one to turn to. Where could you get a little truth? My mama died. My baby died. My wife died. My kids died. I need help. These people were praying for their leader, the king, not a preacher. He's a king. He's a warrior. They were singing about him. After they've been singing, we get to the second verse in the song. Go down with me to verse 6, if you would. And he's going to start answering them. But I would like to say to you that this is basically what David is going to say before we ever look at it. David's going to say, don't worry, the battle's already won. He won it. Excuse me, you need to catch that. He won. I don't have to buy your salvation. God bought your salvation. I don't have to defend you from the devil. God will defend you from the devil. I have the answer because I know the God of heaven. In Psalm chapter 20 and verse 6, David says, I know we got the victory. Look at what he said. Now know I. He's singing. He goes, I know. I don't know if you can hear him as the voices echo. I know, I know, I know that the Lord saves his anointed. Now, when his anointed, that's the king. That's the king. David said, I know God will save me. God picked me. God anointed me. And God named me king when Samuel came to my house. And I tell you what, I'm fixed to go into battle. Don't worry about it. I'm God's man. And then he says, and I know this much. God will hear from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. Number one, I know that I'm taken care of. I know God's going to watch over me. I know what's going to happen. I know I'm his. But not only do I know that, I know this, that when I pray, God hears. You should be able to say that. Now, let me just throw something at you. We're in the Old Testament. But did you know if you're in the New Testament, y'all are anointed. You all been marked as a child of God. Say amen right there. Do you know what? You can't lose. Just back up and think about that a second. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Huh? The devil can't win. What can separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Hey, when death knocks on your door and everybody's all worried and scared, and you're laying in the bed dying, you can look at him and say, I'm a little nervous about this, but don't worry. I know where I'm going. I am his anointed. And then David says in verse 7, I'm not trusting how many chariots we got out there anyway. Chapter 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. David says, I'm not trusting my guns. I'm not trusting my bows and my arrows. I'm not trusting my chariots. And that's where, Daddy, you can't trust your bank account. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. You can't trust your bank account. And you can't trust all the doctors and lawyers, you know, and you can't trust all your best friends. There's only one you can trust, just like David said. Change that to our day and time. Some trust in retirement funds, and some trust in savings accounts, and some trust in all the people they know. But but I will remember the name of the Lord our God. We know this. Hey, they can take all our money. They can take everything we have. But the God of heaven will still take care of us. You should say amen right there. David is trusting in the Lord and not his armies. And he knows that God has already given the victory. Verse 8 is kind of obscure to me, but I think of it as just funny. I mean, it's the word of God. Just look at David says, they're already defeated. Look at it. He says, they're singing. And David says, oh, you can trust that God will take care of me. I'm his anointed and he hears what I pray. And I'm not trusting in my bow and arrow. And I'm not trusting in my slingshot. And I'm not trusting in my sword. I'm trusting in the God of heaven. And they're already brought down and fallen. And we are already living. And look at it. We are risen and stand upright. God has already given us a victory. Read the verse. That's pretty sweet stuff. Amen. You have the victory in Jesus. David knew that God would honor his word. We need men and women of God that know God and know that God hears and answers prayer. I like verse 9, and we've separated it off, but look at verse 9. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. I think David is saying, I need you, Lord. I don't know if it's like the P.S. in the verse or in the song. I don't know how it's being sung. I don't know if it's a chorus. But David said, save, Lord. God Almighty, save me. You're the King. Hear us when we call. Hear us when we call. It's all about God hearing and answering prayer. God alone can save. The whole psalm's not about how strong David is, but how strong God is. Too often we look to men of power, prestige, and influence thinking they have the answers. I've been known to do that. I've got friends. They got money. They can help me. They know people. They can help me. You know that lady in the New Testament? She spent everything she had on doctors. When she couldn't do anything, she just touched the hem of his garment, and he did everything. We trust God. Let me give you some thoughts from the psalm. When you're in trouble, pray to the one that can hear and answer and save you. Look at verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The day of trouble is coming your way, by the way. There's no way that we're going to get out of having trouble. I don't care how much they tell you, you can have your best life now. It's not happening. Best life's heaven. Say amen. Amen. Best life's heaven. You know what awaits you? Sickness and death. And if it's not a virus, it'll be a cancer. If it's not that, it'll be old age or a car wreck. You just need to know this. There's a day coming and you need God. The day is coming when we hear those awful words, you need to get your stuff in order. It's coming, so you're going to trust in the name of the Lord. You need to realize that true help comes from the Lord in heaven. I love verse 2, and I think of me practically. You pray and say, God, send help. God, send help. God, strengthen me. God, send help. God, strengthen me. I'll be afraid. I'll be nervous. I'll be wondering if I'm going to make it. I'll be wondering what's going to happen. I've never done that before. I've never been that road before, but I can pray. And I know God can hear. This afternoon, my wife's in another vehicle. We pull into the house. I'm a little bit slow getting out of the car, and I tell her they're about to kill Chloe. And Betty's like, we got a granddaughter named Chloe. And she's like, do what? I said, oh, no, it's in the book. It's in the book I'm listening to. And so Betty's like freaking out, ready to kill me. And they're just about to take Chloe to the guillotine. She will get her head cut off in the story. And in that time, she says, God, I need help. And God helped her. God strengthened her. And that's what God will do for you. But before the day of problems comes, you need... I like verse 3, and I just like to remind you of it. I got 4 minutes, but just like to remind you of it. When they're praying for David, they said, God, please remember David's offerings. In other words, David had a custom of making offerings. Is it not amazing to you how everybody in the hospital gets religious? And everybody in jail gets religious? And everybody in trouble gets religious? But when they're singing for David, they're like, God, you know David's a praying man. God, you know David's a worshiping man. God, remember David's prayers and accept his sacrifices. For sake of time, I'll just get you a couple more of the verses. But can I say to you, it won't work. You won't make it. Trying to catch up on your praying when they say you got the cancer. It won't. I mean, God will still be there. I'm not saying he would abandon you. But if you need to be pre-prepared. This needs to be a prepaid card, not a credit card. You don't need to be praying on credit. You need to be prayed up. David, God, remember David. You know he's made offerings. And you know he's made sacrifices. Remember. Maybe we'd have to say, God, you know he wants to. He never did, but he probably will now if you'll just help him now. Don't do that. Say amen. It's the name of our God. He's our banner. He's our flag. And then I'll just say the last one that we'll look at is verse 6. Live confidently. that God will take care of you. I love how David said, now know I. Y'all need to hear something. David said, I'm about to go out and do battle, and my soldiers are going to go with me. But here's one thing I know. I'm glad you prayed for me, but I already have the victory. God has given me the victory. I have the victory. You need to live knowing enough Bible and enough promises of God that when all hell breaks loose in your life, that you'll be able to say, I know. I know I'm saved. I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I've been forgiven. I know God hears and answers my prayers. And I know that I'm going somewhere I've never been before, but I can trust that God will take care of me. Now know I that the Lord saves his. Father in heaven, I thank you for the chance to talk to your people. And I pray you'd encourage them. I pray you'd help them to trust you and believe you. I pray you'd help them to get ready for the battle. And I'll give you praise and honor for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Lord, I remind you that the Pepperdines invited us to the wedding on Saturday at 2 o'clock with Joseph and Abby getting married. And we'd love to help you any way we can. Looking forward to that time. Let them know that you'll be coming if you're able to. And then this last 85 people downloaded the app this morning between morning and now, either in the auditorium or online. Going forward, I'll just refer to you as the good church members and appreciate you doing that. If you need any help, let me know. One feature I'd like to tell you about, the reason you might want to download it, is push notifications. Inside it, when you first downloaded it, you could decide what ministries that you wanted to hear about, youth ministry, kids, Awana, and so on. Well, inside of settings, you can add more or take those away. And Pastor has Pastor's Memo, so if he wants to send something out, maybe remind you about tomorrow night, we'll be streaming a sermon at 7 o'clock or something else going on. But those push notifications will be really nice. They don't have any fees to them. I don't think anybody pays for text messaging anymore, but if you do, you won't be paying for it, that notification, and you can turn those on and off, and that will be a great way for us to stay connected. Hope all of you have a great afternoon. God bless.